Welcome to episode 3 of Travis Viandria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you got?
Yep.
I was going to say welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
That music's supposed to get you pumped up and charged up so you're ready to like start talking and be excited.
Okay. Well, I am excited.
For what?
To talk to you, I guess. This is the only time we talk now.
It's better that way, isn't it?
Right, probably. What's new with you this week?
Nothing. Nothing much at all.
No, you didn't have anything exciting happen this last week?
Just a boring weekend. Right. Really nothing exciting at all.
Oh, okay. I heard you went to Vegas.
Unfortunately, I'm not at liberty to discuss anything.
Until the court date's over.
Legally, I'm bound to not talk about what's going on.
Do you have a lawyer yet?
I have legal counsel.
Who?
Can't tell you.
Do you want me to be your lawyer?
You want to act
as your lawyer?
Pretend to be my lawyer?
No, I mean, well, isn't that what all lawyers are pretending to do? Is pretending to be your lawyer?
Other than that, they have a law degree and pass the bar,
yeah,
have certification.
I'm asking you if you have one.
I have legal counsel.
Who?
I can't tell you that.
Oh.
I can't disclose this information.
Lame.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for the listening public, somebody swiped my glasses and I punched him in the face several times. That's what happened. So to the universe and the world, don't touch my motherfucking glasses.
No, for the listening public, the way that went down was, I saw a Facebook post of one of your friends. You know, they were tagging each other. You guys were tagging each other in your posts or whatever, and I saw a status update of one of your friends, and it's like, one of my friends got sucker punched, and then he got detained by the police officers for 3 hours, and then I lost my phone, and then I lost my friends. Vegas, woo! And I was like, oh, well, there's only like 4 people that you were with that could have gotten in a fight. So I was worried, assuming that it wasn't you. And then I sent you a text message, and you're like, it was totally drunken and misspelled, but it was pretty funny. You were like, I said, who got in a fight? And you responded with, I did. I fucked H up. Okay. Citation, though. Good. And at first I was mad, and then I was like, well, I've never known you to be violent or even get yourself in that kind of situation, so benefit of the doubt for you.
Right.
But
I think I've been wearing glasses ever since I was in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
How many years is that?
What's fifth grade? 11, I think. So
like 17 years of wearing glasses.
Mm-hmm.
The first motherfucker that ever touched my glasses got his face punched in.
Was really pleased to hear that you, like, won the fight, I guess.
I don't play no games that I can't win.
Well.
To quote Santa Gold in the Beastie Boys' latest album, I don't play no games that I can't win. Maybe we'll play out to that song. That's my theme music for the night.
Okay. Santa Gold?
Yeah, it's the new Beastie Boys album. It's actually pretty good. Pretty good. Beastie Boys brought it back.
Yeah, no, they're very impressive. That new video was pretty good.
Yeah, it's
with all this with the star-studded.
Yeah, it's a little long. It's a little long.
Well,
I would like to have seen them actually rapping.
They're like old crazy dudes that they can pretty much do anything they want now, and it'll be cool.
They could always do whatever they want. It'd be cool. They were just cool.
No. Not when they first started. They couldn't just do whatever they want. When they first started, they had to be like cool and innovative and, like, you know, different than anything you'd heard.
Yeah, but when you're good, that is what is doing whatever you want. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you think that cool is trying to be what, like, the studio wants to be cool?
You're ridiculous. That is not what I said.
What are you saying exactly?
Are you trying to start a fight where there is no fight?
I'm trying to disagree with you for the purposes of this show.
Right. So you're claiming that I'm formulating an opinion or an argument that's stupid. Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, yeah, the Beastie Boys, yeah, they did what the studio wanted, and so therefore they're cool. That's not what I said.
Well, their first album, they obviously did what the studio wanted.
No, they didn't. Their first album? Oh, right. I guess you're right. Like, it was like kind of punk rock, wasn't it?
They had a lot of punk rock out before.
Right, because I'm sure the studio thought, oh, we got three white, you know.
Well, they got with Rick Rubin, who's notorious. I think he was like even Britney Spears was still doing with Rick Rubin. He's a ridiculous producer. He makes everybody blow.
But I still feel like some of that punk stuff was way more underground than any of their stuff that I guess they were doing when they, like Intergalactic and all that stuff is...
That's so much later, though. I'm talking about, like, Fight for Your Right to Party, that album.
Yeah, but that's still amazing. I'm talking about even earlier than that with, like, Mullet Head and all those
things.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. That's what they changed their style because of this producer, a.k.a. Rick Rubin. But out of it, not just him, but we got songs like Paul Revere that are the shit.
No argument that they're great. I think what I don't understand is where you're saying Rick Rubin influenced them in a negative way.
Not negative. I mean, I'm just saying.
Or a way that maybe they weren't being themselves or what they wanted to do.
No, I definitely think they played up the white rapper routine.
That's what they were.
Were they?
Yes.
They were more punk rock before that. This is, you're like going against your own argument now.
No, you're arguing. I thought you were arguing that they wanted to be rappers. And that they were forced to be punk rockers.
Sure, once they figured it out. No, it was the other way around. Maybe. Maybe they wanted to be rappers. I don't think they were forced to be punk rockers. No, I think that they were probably a little more punk from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But they could also rap.
So you're saying that the studio came in later and influenced some of those things that were happening. I thought you were saying that originally their music was influenced by... studios and record labels.
Initially?
Yeah.
No. That's how you make it big. But of course you're going to be influenced.
But how do you get your album released? If somebody doesn't have, some record label doesn't have any some kind of control over it.
Well, now it's completely different. We're talking about like 1982. That's when like it was still a big deal. Like to get signed by a record label is a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, it's a joke.
Right.
It's a joke.
And we could record an album right now.
Yeah, anybody can record their own album. Yeah. But to get like a production studio, like they had to have a pretty tight routine before. And whether or not they were really that, or maybe they had a couple songs that were really hip hop, but like when Rick Rubin found them, he turned them in. I think he turned them in a little bit of something different than what they were.
But why? Then why?
But they're still original and amazing and talented, but I don't know.
But if you think that, then why do you think they're still making music that's more rap, hip-hop oriented?
Well, I'm differentiating between the first album and everything since then. Like, then the second one they got with the Dust Brothers, who were a completely different kind of group, and they created more of like an electronic sample-based.
Right.
Like, that's a pretty impressive album compared to Fight or...
I think that's your opinion.
Of course, because it's my opinion.
But I know, but I don't think that that's a super impressive thing. I think that the album with Fight for Your Right and all that was way more impressive. But well, I think that's because you like to sample things, and that's what you like to hear.
Yeah, but also their most critically acclaimed album is Paul's Revere.
You're making that up.
Not Paul. Is it Paul's Revere? Is that the second one?
I don't. It's Paul's Revere?
Paul Revere is the song on the first album, right? It's Paul's Boutique. That's
Paul's
what it is.
Paul's Boutique. Yeah, there
Paul's
you go.
Paul's Boutique. Which is a great album. It's a great album.
I would like to hear the Paul's Revere album that you're talking about.
That might be coming out. We don't know. No, well, the thing is that the critic's choice for their best album is Paul's Boutique.
You're making that up.
No, I'm not.
How do you know? Where's that fact?
Because it's their most revolutionary album as far as like how they changed music.
You're just making words up.
Oh, you're retarded. No offense to anybody who is mentally challenged who has bins to be listening to this podcast. Apparently, people are offended by my overt racism, which isn't even racism. I think if you got offended by that, That means you're a racist.
I don't think anybody got offended by it.
I think people were offended.
You sounded like a dunce.
A dunce. They called a dunce. And I'm down. I don't know. I killed you in that argument. You admitted it.
No, I beat you in the argument. No.
And actually, I lost 5-1 in the vote. And the only one that voted for me was me. I'll admit that.
That was pretty. Well, actually, Travis, I went back and listened to it. And I was, I did win. Like, I think after a little bit, you got. Yes, I did. Because you did. You got, like, weird and racist. And I was trying to, like, understand where you were coming from. But you were just kind of like talking out of your ass. And I just think that the public sees that.
No, they just.
And they saw who the real winner was.
They got scared.
When you first started talking about it, you did kind of sound like an idiot. It was weird. You didn't really ever prove your white is right point.
It's simply a corporate bylaw of acting white in a corporation will get you farther.
Right, which is not what you said.
By my new book.
You waited 40 minutes.
White is right.
You waited 40 minutes to like finally make that point. But for the first 15 or 20 minutes, you were just like, yeah.
What do you think the first...
Everybody needs to think white.
What do you think the first 200 pages of my book are?
Buy my book.
What do you think the first 200 pages of the book are?
You'll get further in life.
What do you think the first 200 pages of the book are? Of course, that's my argument. And then... You pull the veil out over their eyes.
You pull the old switcheroo.
I'm like M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. It's a Shyamalanian twist. You're amazing.
So what are we arguing about this week?
Well, I think usually it just kind of formulates or eventually turns into something.
No, you've been researching something all week.
What?
I don't know. You told me that you had it this week. You were researching.
Wonderful. No.
What's up with all this dead air? I thought you were going to come prepared to this. Did you drink too much last night? Were you vomiting last night?
I hate you so much.
Why?
You like forced me to do this tonight. You knew I was hungover. Yes, I vomited this morning and today sucked hard and then I had to go to work and it sucked worse and I was just trying not to like throw up or like pass out.
You're 28 years old.
I am 28 years old. It's pathetic. It's pathetic that I almost couldn't do my podcast tonight because I was so hungover. I almost couldn't sit on this couch and speak into this microphone because I was too hungover.
Well, it's Friday night. You don't have a choice.
Do you actually want to know what my bone is with you this week?
What's your bone?
My bone with you this week is that sometimes you are very critical of my laziness.
Yeah, well, we've been in this new apartment for 2 weeks.
You're like a nag. You're like a woman
2 weeks,
in the way that you
right,
nag me.
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't put away your friggin' clothes.
I don't have a dresser.
Who needs a dresser? You've got a ton of closet space.
No, it's not a ton of closet space. Like, where do you put t-shirts?
Fold them and put it's just like a dresser when you have a shelf.
No.
Why do you need a drawer to pull out?
Okay,
That's so dumb.
First of all, I'm like a foot shorter than you are, so it's not super convenient for me to put my t-shirts on a top shelf.
Well, figure it out.
I was taking my time formulating the way in which I was going to put the clothes in the closet. And until then, they were going to sit on the floor in bags.
Yeah, it's not even an argument. It's like
you stole two weeks. And then on top of everything else, you stole all of the crates to like put all of your 500 pairs of shoes away.
All of my crates that I put in their proper place where they belong. What are you worried about?
Whatever.
That's not what you need. If you really need to go, if you need something to organize your closet, go get something.
It costs money.
So you're just gonna. You're gonna leave. We have our apartment all set up,
mm-hmm.
other than your clothes in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Are in like 20 bags on the ground.
Right.
And I'm just supposed to deal with that and not get upset by it. It's one of those things. Like how many times do you walk by something? At the door. Like, it's after the fifth or sixth time, you just keep walking by and it becomes a part of the room.
Right.
That's what you want. I don't want that shit. Look, we have a nice apartment. It might be, it looks like shit from the outside, but inside it's all right. Uh-huh. But we might as well set it up and put all our stuff away so that we don't have crap lying out on the floor.
Right.
So how am I a nag? I let it go 2 weeks.
You let it go. Well, that's my whole point, is that I get these like looks from you, like these wife-like looks from you every time you're like, oh, you're just gonna sit there today, huh? You're not gonna put your clothes away? Okay.
I said it one day. One day. You got all
I knew what you were. I knew what you were thinking.
Well, yeah. I mean, what are you doing? Lying around feeling sorry for yourself?
No.
Then get up and do something.
Nobody's lying around feeling sorry for themselves.
Then why don't you put your clothes away?
Are you talking about today?
No.
Oh.
I told you to put your clothes away and you got all upset. And you're trying to pick a bone with me, so I'm just defending myself.
I'm just saying. I think that we have different ideas of how to get things done.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I'd like a dresser.
Then get a dresser.
All right, I will.
Don't dream for a dresser.
I'm not.
And leave your crap on the floor.
If I put it out there in the universe, the dresser will come.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the secret of getting a dresser.
Yep.
You'll probably have a dresser tomorrow. You put it out there.
Exactly. I'm glad you.
Good, but in the meantime, maybe you could hide all your clothes in the closet. Instead of leaving the closet empty and the
hide
floor
it from who?
Occupied.
Who's all this company that you're trying to put
me.
On airs for?
Me. I put all my crap away. Did I not?
Yeah, but you have more time than I do.
Do I?
I think so.
I don't think so.
That's been my excuse for most of our relationship. Because I think until we moved out here, I was working at least 3 times as long and as hard as you were. I'd hardly ever be home. Between teaching Scorpius rehearsals and like other things I was doing, I was gone all the time. And I just think that
How does that have anything to do with your clothes
just
on
take
the floor
it, just
in our
take
new apartment?
It easy. I'm getting there. Just relax a minute. Ugh. I think that I just got used to like being so busy and not having time to do little things like that, that like when I was home, I would totally relax. And since we've been here in LA, I've just had a restaurant job and been totally responsible for like getting new auditions or things like that. And like if there are no auditions or if I'm not filming that week and I'm just working and I only have to work 25 to 30 hours a week, the rest of the time is spent at home and I should be self-motivated, but I'm really not.
I'm not asking you.
And then what happens is that clothes don't get put away because I'm not self-motivated, because when I'm home, I want to sleep and eat and relax.
It's a one-time thing. You had 2 weeks to do one, like I asked you for 1 hour job. What did it take you, an hour when you finally did it?
No, you were like, oh, hey. Hang pictures. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. My point is that you're pretty naggy.
I'm naggy. Who cares?
I just think it's funny.
I have to nag at a certain point, because if you let something build up and it pisses me off, and you know, I don't nag at you, then I'm just going to internalize it, and it's going to give me a tumor in my brain. What's better, me being naggy or having a tumor and dying?
Naggy, I guess.
comedic long pause. You're hilarious.
I guess, naggy.
You have 30 seconds.
To what?
To apologize.
To apologize. I am sorry that my clothes... And I really still don't have any place for my shirts. My shoes have been put away.
15 seconds.
All of my undies and socks and things like that have been put away. I'm going to figure out something to do with my shirts. So for that, I am sorry. This is Rap Mushi.
DJ. Yeah. 音楽音楽音楽 Yeah.
Welcome back to the second half. Second more exciting half.
that was a pretty good rap mushi.
Thank you.
For your first try.
That was my very first rap mushi. That's pretty cool.
It's a good loop. I like that loop. That piano loop. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
You're welcome.
So
we left off. Actually, I don't remember where we left off talking, but I can tell you what we left off during halftime.
Where was that?
You started to say something kind of interesting. I talked a little bit about the idea of positive thinking and a dresser showing up magically.
Right. Your secret.
Yeah. And you said that doesn't work for you.
No. It's bullshit.
Why is it bullshit, though?
It's just bullshit.
The idea of positive thinking and
saying
what you want.
The idea that I think it works to an extent, but the idea... The main argument against it is that, so if a kid in Somalia who just can't fucking eat only started positive thinking, everything in his life would fucking become better. Right? It's like some people are just dealt a fucking shitty hand. It doesn't matter how much fucking positive thinking you do.
Oh, I agree. I think what has to... What you're saying alludes to this, though, that if you're negative thinking, then bad stuff is going to happen to you, because bad things happen to you, then you must be thinking negatively or something.
No, that doesn't make sense.
I guess you're right.
It's like by the adverse of your argument is that those people are thinking negatively.
You're right.
Their life is so bad, and that logic is terrible.
No, I agree, and I'm not really sure what I think about that specifically. I think that there are things that I'm not going to be able to do. Like, if I was like, I want to magically turn into a guy, and I want to be, you know, this. Like, it's not going to happen unless you do something about it. And so, thinking positively, I think only gets you so far, but. My problem with you is that you often are extremely negative. You don't like to talk about things that you want. You don't like to talk about your dreams or the future because it hasn't happened yet and you might as well just do it.
Well, it's just a different philosophy. Just shut up and do it, you know?
Right, but...
Like, I don't like talking Malibu. That I'm going to own one day.
Why?
Because it's retarded.
Why?
It's retarded to talk about it.
No, it's not.
You know what? I want to enjoy things while I have them.
It's a reminder of why. No, don't. Okay, don't even start with me on that. I want to enjoy things while I have them. You're bitching. You bitch constantly about what we have.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm accused of living in the future. But how is that any different? That would just perpetuate more of living in the future if I start talking about that.
Who has ever accused you of living in the future?
You said I'm always worried about the past and the future, but I'm not worried about the present, and I don't enjoy the present or something like that.
Oh, you definitely don't enjoy the present.
Well, okay. Well, there's a present tense that I see in the future that I will enjoy, but until then, I'm not going to fucking talk about that.
Wait until I'm not serving in a restaurant.
Right.
Then talk to me about enjoying my life.
It's not going to change anything.
Well, my point is that you're pretty much negative in almost every aspect of your life. I can't get you to say, even when I try to bask in this, you know, new apartment that's huge comparatively speaking to lots of places out here and we like it. I'm like, hey, how do you like our great new apartment? I'm like, isn't our apartment great? And you'll be like, no, it's not great. It looks like this from the outside. It's fine. It'll be fine.
It does look like shit. It's a great apartment on the inside, but why do you ever want to live somewhere where you don't want to even fucking look outside? Like, it's terrible.
That is pretty terrible.
You know, it's nice to have, and it's good for the rebirth of our relationship to be in a nice, big, open space.
The rebirth of our relationship.
The rebirth. The second coming.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so ideally we're in a time phase, which we have to worry about that and make everything great in here.
Right.
And then, who cares about the outside world?
Right.
But when you don't put your fucking clothes away. And they're on the floor in my bedroom for months. We actually did get off
subject. I would just really like you to, I would really like to see you enjoy day-to-day things. You won't spend money on anything. Everything is, we can't afford it, or we can't do this, or why would you do that until you actually have the money to do it? But like, then there's no, like, I don't look forward to anything. I don't look, if we don't, like...
I look forward to getting out of debt.
Right. That's a really that's not
vacation.
Fun thing.
That's vacation for me. Right. When I get out of debt, then I will be...
No, that's extremely realistic, and it's really smart. But
long-term,
like,
vacation.
We may not pay off debt for another 5 to 10 years. So why... What are we going to do until then? Work every day...
Pay off more debt.
Work every day of our lives to... worry about money and scrimp and save and do like
you're
not enjoying anything.
A weekly beach day, it's good for you.
No,
good for your head. Lame after a while. Get back to nature.
Yeah, that's good. That's for your health, though. That's not like I'm looking forward to our trip to Mexico or our trip to New York or this thing we saved up for or whatever. I just feel like you often will take, you'll squeeze every last ounce of joy out of something by reminding me that we either should have spent it on credit cards or should have spent it on this and not have done this because it's a waste of money because we don't really have it or whatever.
See, because I find joy in the little moments of day-to-day life.
No,
like I don't need to. You're so busy. You're so busy creating fucking joy in your head of what it's going to be that it becomes a nightmare. Like, think about every vacation. Not that every vacation is a nightmare. Some vacations are great, and it's just the same percentage of your day what it would be when you stay home. Like, you are either gonna have a good day or a bad day no matter where the fuck you go. How many times you go on vacation and you just, like, it's not a vacation, you're constantly fucking doing shit. It's and
whose
you just
vacations are
all
you going
this goddamn
on
goddamn money.
When have you and I ever been on a vacation together where we did too much and it wasn't really a vacation? Like a real vacation, not like going to visit our families or doing something like that.
Every day in my life is a vacation. People, you shouldn't fucking drink.
I love
like
this. You're like putting on a front.
Every
day of my life is a vacation. I've never seen you act like
that. It is. I work 20 hours a week.
Andrea, put your clothes away. Andrea, when are you going to hang those pictures?
I work
Andrea,
20 to 25
Andrea,
hours a week.
Are you going to mop the floor today?
And I drink
are you
going like
to mop the floor today?
I drink like I'm 22. Every day is a vacation for me, and that's why I'm not successful.
But 22-year-olds don't sit around.
You
want
to take vacations.
22-year-olds don't sit around the next. Listen, 22-year-olds don't sit around the next day going, "I'm too old for this. I shouldn't have drank last night. I'm too old for this. I shouldn't go out.
When you're 22,
I shouldn't have,
even when you're
I shouldn't
pathetic,
have
you're
fun.
Not pathetic yet.
I shouldn't have fun. I'm 30 and I serve, and I shouldn't have fun. I shouldn't be doing this." But I'm going to do it again tonight.
What are you doing it for? The mental remembrance bank of how cool you were?
Oh, yes, I am. Because I had so much fun last night that those memories will be in my awesome memory bank forever.
Okay, except that you have like an acid reflux, like inflammation
in
your throat. So
way to prove my point about the way that you think
fun
about things.
What, I look at the most obvious reason why you wouldn't?
No, it totally sucks the way that I feel today, but it doesn't mean that I didn't want, it was worth having last night.
I'll kill myself just to have a good time. Look, you're like
no
in for,
oh, please.
You're
let's
a sprinter. You're a sprinter. See, I run marathons. It's a different game.
No, that's way worse. And no, I am not a sprinter because you're implying to our little audience here that I am a binge drinker, and that is not what I am. I don't go out every night and get messed up. I don't even sit at home every night and drink more than a couple if I do.
If you drink until you puke ever, you're a binge drinker.
No, I'm not, because binge drinkers binge drink all the time. They can't just have one or two. They can't or they can't drink at all without getting to the point of blacking out. All
right, so you're an alcoholic plus binge drinker. Like, at least I'm just an alcoholic.
No, I think that your condition is way worse than mine.
Obviously, I drink more than you do.
You drink way more than I do. You drink to, like, function nowadays.
I function fine on any level. I resent that statement.
I know, you probably should. It's quite a claim.
Because that's pretty stupid.
Well, I resent you telling me that I'm a binge drinker. I'm not like, I'm like, yeah, what the fuck, whatever, give me a shot, yeah. I'm not, that's not what I do. You're a
frat girl.
Well, that's what I associate with binge drinking.
Or a valley girl.
No, that's exactly what people sound like when they ask for shots. It doesn't matter if you're a valley girl or a man or a grandmother.
You're not the kind of person that orders shots at a bar?
No, because you have to sound like that. I have a shot. What shot, is that? Please. Shots, Kella.
What is that shots thing?
I don't know. I don't get shots at all. Unless you'd like to argue about that. Then I can pretend I like them.
So you just ruined this entire show.
No.
So it's just all fake with you?
No, of course not. I actually think that even if, like, you and I find things to disagree on, no matter what, truthfully.
Why? Are you competitive?
What are you talking about?
Are you competitive? Like, so no matter what I'm right about, you want to just oppose me and try to beat me?
No, that's what you do.
No.
That is what you do. You will you will change opinions completely.
No, just to have something to argue with me about.
No, show me which I hate when you say that. I'm gonna show you the way, Andre. I'm gonna enlighten you. I'm gonna open doors for you. I'm gonna open your mind doors so wide.
Well, you get to the point where you're decided on a lot of things.
Well, yeah. Because I've usually thought about them. Have right. you met
you're
me?
Very,
think a lot. That's all I do.
That's all I'm saying. Is you're well, very opinionated.
That's what you should be. That's what you should. I'm not closed-minded, though.
You should be.
I'm
like,
not closed-minded. I'm totally willing to listen to other people's opinions. But yeah, I feel like I've lived the kind of life and some life experience that I can formulate some pretty solid opinions. I don't need to always be going, "What? What do you think about that? Cool."
Just being open-minded doesn't.
I am open-minded. Just because I have opinions doesn't mean that I'm closed-minded. What have I been closed-minded with you about tonight?
It's just how you react to things.
You full-on.
You have very definitive
you
reactions.
You full-on used a starving child in Somalia to argue The Secret with me. You are to argue positive thinking with me right
What's
now.
What's wrong with that?
Well, realistically, like, we're not living in third world countries, so there are things that I can control by thinking positively.
So you shouldn't consider it.
No, I am considerate, but we're not like a couple of, you know, an atheist and a Christian sitting around, and like the atheist is going to go, "What about that third world country kid?" It's kind of like below the belt. You can't really, none of us really know what it's like to live in third world countries. So how can we? I just don't. Like that you use that
as an
argument. Yeah,
but you should consider them.
I'm
not saying that I know what it's like and how shitty it is.
Yes, I am totally considering them.
I can
imagine. But I think within the world, within the cards that little Somalian kid has been dealt, I think he can positive think his way out of a lot of a shit.
To where? Explain this to me. Where is he going
to
get?
I don't know. To getting a pound of rice for his family for that week. I don't know. Whatever it is that gets you through the day to day. I'm not walking around saying, I'm going to positive think a unicorn into my life. That's not what I'm doing. And that's what you're making it sound like.
Well, then how does it work?
How it works is you say, I have this goal. I'm going to talk about this goal. I'm going to look at pictures of this goal. I'm going to write this goal down for myself. This is my goal, and this is what I want for myself, and I will have it. There's no doubt about it. There's no maybe I'll get it. There's no, oh, well, you know, if this happens, then maybe this will happen, and that would be really cool. It's I'm going to have this. And whether it be an end career result or whatever, you do everything in your day-to-day to make sure that that happens. But if you ever get discouraged or start talking down about yourself, or maybe it's going to happen, or you allow, like, for example, a lot of actors or artists will serve for a long time, get really sick of serving and think, I need to do something else. And then they get, say, a secretary job, or they start going to school, or they say, oh, I'm going to major in something that's realistic. And then they become a teacher for 4 years and go, what the heck am I doing? I'm almost 30 and I've been teaching and doing something I didn't even want to do for that long. That is my point. You don't allow things to come into your life to settle.
A lot of actors have that exact same.
I'm not saying
scenario.
I know anybody that had that scenario.
I know one person.
It was me. But you get stuck. You get stuck, and you allow things in your life to shape shape what happens to you. And I think what positive thinking is and what the secret is just not letting other people and outside influences affect what your life will be.
Yeah, that's a strange concept to me. Like, I'm more of like a student, I'm more open-minded. Student of the universe, and I'm totally willing to allow outside forces to affect me. You know? Like, if you're so mentally driven and tunneling into this future that you think is yours, aren't you missing something maybe that's right in front of your eyes?
A really big example of what you just said, the difference between you and me, is I am the one who suggested Los Angeles. I am the one who said we should do it now. I'm the one who made it happen.
Because of the secret?
In my mind, it was the next step to get to what I really wanted, yeah.
Yeah, but see...
And you have to make it happen. You can't sit around and go, well, we don't have a lot of money saved up, or we don't have this, or I have this job, or I really should just stick it out one more year doing this. Or if we wait one more year, then maybe we'll have this much money and everything will be perfect. But, like, it's never going to be the perfect time. You have to take a risk. It's never going to be risk-free.
Right, right. But also...
But my point is that I had to go, that's... We're picking up. I'm leaving.
Yeah, but my philosophy still works for that.
For you.
Like, why am I attached? Exactly. Why am I attached to you? Because, well, I ride the wave of life. And right now you're just
and
my
I'm
ride.
Making waves, and I'm making waves, and I'm making waves, and you're riding waves.
You made one wave by moving to Los Angeles.
Done a lot of waving.
Yeah, you wave a lot.
I've done a lot of flailing. I do a lot of flailing.
But that's it.
Well...
No, I mean, you're an amazing and talented person. I'll give you that.
I think you just got real serious here.
I don't always agree with you on everything.
I don't even know if you've ever said that sentence to me before.
Well, we're on air, so I'm trying to sound not like I'm a complete asshole.
Uh-huh.
You know, apparently that's what I sound like.
A dunce.
A dunce. Yes. So, as far as the secret goes, I think it's possible to be positive to yourself and you can believe that things are going better because a percentage of our reality is inside our own head. That's why every reality is a little bit different.
And I agree 100% with that. I think 90% of what you feel, in fact, probably all of what you feel is based on how you perceive it and exist. And things are shitty if you think they're shitty, and things aren't if you think they aren't. And people and people around you will agree with you no matter what it is you think.
Right. Well, that's given. No matter what even you believe, you even...
But the more positive that you are, the more that your reality shapes around
that. Positive is such a relative term, too. It's like...
No, I kind of think it's like all-encompassing. In the way that you think. You're being positive. Everything has a positive spin. Everything even every little shitty thing can have some kind of silver lining.
Which is what? Like, you're going towards the light, not into the darkness?
Yes.
What is that positive? A positive charge. So you're moving...
Yeah,
literally
forward.
Towards energy.
Forward, towards light, towards other people that also are positive.
See, but I don't get that.
Beacons of light, if you will.
Like, to say that you're positive, you're optimistic,
mm-hmm.
you're hopeful of
yeah.
the future.
All of it.
As opposed to realistic.
I think it's your fault that realistic in our like relationship vocabulary has become negative because you're always accusing me of not being realistic and saying that your negativity is realism, is being realistic. But you can't, I think that being realistic is being smart and you know, just being smart and looking at things logically and being able to step back and see things objectively. I think that that's being realistic, but oftentimes you relate being realistic to like, you understand that this is really bad, right, Andrea? Like, you understand that you need to do this and you need to do this, and I'm being realistic. I'm not allowed to dream because it's not being realistic. I'm not allowed to say, hey, let's save up and go on a vacation because that's not being realistic. But really, it's your negative spin on realisticness.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's really no argument for or against it at this point.
No.
It's like, we're not going to change on that.
No, and it's possibly why we work. You keep me grounded, I keep you afloat.
Right.
But it's hard to deal with sometimes. I'm sure on both ends.
Yeah, like even...
You know what kind of bothers me a little bit, though?
When you talk about your next vacation when you're on vacation? Yeah, that's annoying.
Oh, you hate that. You know who that is. It's my dad a little bit. I get that from my dad.
I'm going to go next.
Yeah, exactly. But it also, too, in my mind, is not like I'm not getting lost in that. It just allows me to get from here to here and think about something good at the end of that. I don't know. Maybe there's an argument for me not actually enjoying what I'm doing at the time because I'm excited for, you know, the next vacation or the next thing or the next point in time.
We already discussed that. That's what I said. I was like, you're so busy trying to plan the future.
Uh-huh.
That you don't. I didn't
hear that part.
Oh, you didn't get my whole argument.
No, I got your argument. I just...
That would be a vital part of the argument.
That was a pretty vital, valid part. No, I do that, but... I just also think, too, you can't... We might... Especially being artists, we might be poor for a little while. We may be poor for a year. We may be poor for 25. And we may even be poor forever doing what we're doing. But we can't... What are we waiting for? To, like, dream and do things and save up for things or take little vacations here and there. Like, what are we waiting for?
Because once you're out of debt, you can be really poor and have a really fun or good life, you know. If you don't have to pay fucking credit card bills.
But my main financial goal in life is not to just pay off my credit cards and then live poorly.
I'm paying off the past. So it's like, what, you know, it's like I'm already living in the past by, that's what I'm saying. Like financially, when I can get to the amazing $0 point,
mm-hmm.
That's when I can live in reality.
All right.
So I'm still living in the past because
you're
I have
still
debt.
You're still making stipulations on how you feel today.
I don't care.
There's nothing you can do about your debt today. Well, there is, but I mean...
You should turn off the power and then...
just literally spend no money.
Yeah.
Well, we should turn off our phones and turn off all this electricity and turn off the TV.
Yeah, but you have to Internet. Live so pampered.
I have to live so pampered. Right. No, you're right. Me.
Sorry, folks. The cable bill is getting really high.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Internet bill.
So we can't do our podcast anymore. You know what?
No, we can do it. We just have to cut off right now because
I'm the one with
25 minutes.
I'm the one with like 75 pairs of shoes. And I have to live the... No, you're right. But I have to live the pampered life.
What do you walk on? Your eyes? No, you walk
I
on
don't
your
need
feet.
75 pairs of the same stupid shoe. I have to have one kind of every shoe for every outfit.
It's not for every outfit. It's for every activity.
No.
Yeah.
You're telling me those different Reeboks in there or those different Adidas are all for different activities?
Yeah. Everything has a different function. It's function-based.
What about the same shoe with different colors?
Function-based.
What is the function?
They may look the same, but they're not the same.
Oh, one is for... walking regular speed, and the other is for walking medium regular speed.
And with that, we're out. Say goodnight.
See you next week.